Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've heard that there's a house that has some bodies in the basement.
Somebody told you that Shakaya was a victim of human trafficking?
And come to find out, this is like, it exploded into this huge thing.
I just knew something was wrong.
Police say 33-year-old Jared Bridegan was shot dead.
I kept calling his phone during the drive.
Gunned down in front of his 2-year-old daughter. It's a murder that stunned Jacks Beach neighbors.
His murder has attracted national attention, with investigators saying he was targeted.
Eventually, a police officer answered and told me to come to the police station.
Justice is something that takes different shapes or forms.
If you know something, heard something, please, it's never too late to do the right thing.
So I'm Deanna Thompson, aka Body Movin'.
And I'm John Green. For about a decade, Deanna and I spent a lot of time on the internet, especially in the underbelly of the internet, trying to identify and get animal abusers arrested.
We spent countless hours scouring the dark web, helping catch predators. We spent over a year and a half trying to get law enforcement to take us seriously about a man that was killing cats online, and he was threatening to move on to kill humans, and that was Luca Magnotta.
Yeah, you might have heard about the Netflix special called Don't Fuck with Cats.
That's us. Well, now we're turning our online investigative skills to some of the most unexplained, unsolved, and just ignored cases.
This is True Crimes,
a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. The last time we had an opportunity to speak with forensic analyst Joseph Scott Morgan, he walked us both through the ins and outs of the likely evidence collected at Jared's murder scene. It's a bit overwhelming, but now it's time to check in with our Florida-based investigator, Chris Salgado.
Chris has been looking into Jared's ex-wife, Shayna, and her husband, Mario. Let's see what he's found.
Chris, the last time we spoke with you, we kind of went over the Jared Bridegan case and went over the details of the case and kind of some theories and some information that Deanna and I had come across. And we needed your help as a private investigator to get some information that she and I couldn't find. And some of that might be because it's too soon. So one of the things we were looking for is if somebody moves, how soon will the new records be reflected that we can see somebody and find them where they're at now? So since we saw you last or spoke to you last time, we asked you to run a report for us. Were you able to do that?
Yeah, I was. I was able to run up a couple of reports and fire off that information to you both.
Great.
For the listeners, Deanna and I were doing a little research on a house in Jacksonville Beach that looks like it was put up for sale in mid-October. We were trying to see if somebody was still living in the state of Florida. This is our first chance to look at the report. Okay. Now, we had kind of heard something through the grapevine, I guess you could say.
I got a message from someone saying that the kids were moving to a specific state. They were telling their friends they're moving to a specific state. So I got a message from someone asking me, can we find them in that state? I did record searches on like voter records and things like that, and everything still pointed to Florida. But because they only moved in October to wherever they moved to, then, you know, I figured, well, maybe it's just too soon to have those records reflected, you know?
Correct.
So, yeah.
So I think what we're looking at here kind of agrees with what we've been told.
All right, let's go through this. So we got a report now on Shayna and Mario, but we're not going to give too many details because we're not going to dox this person on the air, right?
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, did they move to this specific state? And the first note on this report is they have an address in this state. And then I have the address. And the address is linked to a specific company. The deed was transferred in September. Hold on.
I'm doing my thing and going on Google Maps.
Yeah, you do your thing. I'm going to do mine real quick.
I'm just looking at the area.
I understand.
And then I'm going to do my next thing, is verify when that house was sold or bought.
Okay.
It wasn't difficult to get the information. The more difficult spot part is going to be analyzing the information, because you got to remember, a lot of times when we investigate, it's not a lack of information, but it's an analysis of all of the large amounts of information data points that we get to really understand what is relevant, what's misinformation, or frankly, just wrong, and what's really relevant for the focus at hand.
Yeah.
So the address that I'm looking at shows the property was sold late September.
The address that we just got?
Yeah, one of the address that I'm looking at.
Yeah, September 26th is when the property was transferred.
Yeah. And then a couple weeks later in October, they put the house in Florida up for sale.
They put the house up October 27th is when it was listed on Zillow.
So this is within a month. Within a month of this house being purchased in another state, the house in Florida is put up for sale.
Right.
So one of the things that we know that they had done at one point in time, they started like a property management company.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, right, Deanna?
Yep.
So I don't think this is related to that. Interesting.
Yeah.
So this all fits together. I would say all these pieces fit together. You buy a house, you put your old house up for sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Want to see price history.
So that's listed as a current address to the individual.
Okay.
And I think it's something pretty interesting. So it looks like it's listed as a current address as of mid-December.
Okay.
But the transfer of what you're talking about, like you folks said, happened in late September to a company, right? And that company falls into the background of the context of the situation.
Right.
Let me pull that up here.
But it looks like the property, just the land itself, was purchased at the beginning of this year, and then a house was built on it and then purchased. So, well, it looks like the hunch was right, or what she heard was right, right?
Where's the city at? Is it close to Tacoma at all?
No. It's about 220 miles inland from Tacoma. I mean, it's very, very rural area.
Okay.
So I think the takeaway from this, Deanna, is that the hunch that somebody had or heard, it sounds like it actually happened.
Right. So, yeah, but where's her husband?
That, I guess, is the million-dollar question. That, were you able to get much information on him, Chris, the new husband?
Yeah, I was. I'll go ahead and send that off to you guys.
Okay.
Was able to pull some new information on him. It's behind a company, and there's a lot of different companies affiliated with
it. I know.
Certainly property management companies. There's a whole lot of them. You guys have kind of tip of the results here.
Right.
And in the same email that I sent you folks, it has the new address for the other individual there.
Yeah. But the weird thing is she's on one end of the country and he's on the other end of the country. That's the takeaway from this, Deanna. And the question is why? So Deanna and I had a really good conversation with Joseph
Scott Morgan,
the forensics guy. And we were talking about what type of witness, what kind of testimony is made in court. And there's eyewitness testimony, Unfortunately, in this case, it's only the 2-year-old daughter, which she'll probably never be called to the stand. All she remembers is bang, 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 and seeing daddy lie on the ground. I don't think she saw the shooter. So that then relies on evidence left at the scene. So I was thinking about it, Deanna, after that conversation yesterday. I said, well, there's one other way, and that's a confession. Somebody would confess to it. And so the fact that she's on one side of the country and he may be staying at the other end of the country is kind of telling. I mean, the going theory, people on the internet believe that, you know, the ex-wife is responsible for his death. And a lot of people believe that her current husband may have something to do with it, or he knows information about it, right? So you would think you would, unless the marriage went really bad, you would stay together. And, if possibly you were somehow connected to what happened to Jared, you would stay together. So it just seems odd that he's on one end of the country and she's on the other coast.
Let's stop here for a break. We'll be back in a moment.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want me to give you a theory?
Go.
Okay. I don't think she has anything to do with it. I don't think she knows about it. I don't think... This is just, okay, conjecture.
Yeah.
I don't think she knows about it. I don't think she had anything to do with it. But I think her circle does, right?
Yeah.
Now, who that person is, I don't know yet. But let's pretend for a moment that it's her husband, that he hired some guy, like his first time kind of hit job, right?
Hypothetically.
For $5,000, let's just say.
Yeah.
This is all hypothetical. Well, I mean, how stupid would you have to be to kill your ex-husband 2 miles from your home? Do you know what I mean? Like, how stupid would you have to be to do that? You're in this contentious custody battle. This makes you suspect number one. And you know this. You're not stupid, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have any, if you have, like, plausible deniability, then, I mean, and you're innocent.
You have an alibi.
You have an alibi. You've been, you're at home with the kids, then, okay? Now, she might suspect him, right?
Yeah.
She might suspect that he had something to do with this, and they've been fighting about it. And it's been causing resentment, and it's been causing this undercurrent of disdain amongst them. She tells mom, I can't be with this guy anymore. Like, we're just so different and I've outgrown him and blah, 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 blah. Mom, I'll take care of it. We'll get this handled. A month before they start moving, remember, a month before they start moving, mom and dad, through this company, purchase this house in Washington.
Yeah.
She goes to her husband, I'm leaving you. And you're not coming with me. I'm moving as far away from this as it's too painful for me to be here anymore.
That is a very good theory.
I mean, this is just me guessing at this point.
I mean, that is a huge difference.
Yeah. But why would he stay? If, let's pretend he's guilty of something. Why would he stay? Is he allowed to leave Florida? Now, the company that he owns with her, he's the primary, like, worker there. And she did an interview and she said, my husband runs this company, right?
Yeah.
And it is registered in the state of Florida, but that doesn't mean he has to live there, right? But if his rentals are in Florida, then, you know, he would stay there.
Sorry, I'm doing a little digging while we're...
No, I'm just talking.
No, I hear you.
But I mean, seriously, think about it. How stupid would you have to be to kill your husband who everybody knows you basically hate, right? And that's a strong word, but you basically hate him.
You have animosity.
Right.
And at one point in time, you told somebody at a tattoo parlor you wish somebody, some way to shut him up.
Yep.
Again, this is all hypothetical, allegedly.
And in any situation that this has been brought up, I have defended this woman. And you have too.
Yeah.
And we're the only ones doing that. Are we nuts? I mean, are we missing something?
Well, I think the thing is who has motive in this, right? Who has...
Clearly.
Qui bono. Qui bono. Who
benefits? Let's talk about that. You're right. Because her moving 7 months after his murder is kind of like... because one of the things that people have been saying is that maybe she wanted to move out of state and Jared said, no, you're not taking my kids out of state. Florida's their home. You're not leaving Florida.
You're not going to take my kids.
You're not taking my kids
across the country.
Right.
From me, yeah.
Right. And sure, that's a reason. That's a that could be a motive for sure.
But I think that's why a lot of people that at first, you know, the gut reaction is she had something to do with it because she would have benefited by getting, the ex-wife would have gotten full custody of the kids. So, I mean.
For sure.
Now, that may be true, but that doesn't mean she actually committed the act. So, I think.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible.
One thing that just actually like popped into my head recently was the date. So, it was February 16th that happened to Jared, right?
Correct.
And what happened, what's 2 days before February?
Valentine's 16th? Day.
Yeah, it just...
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you know, act of love. You do something out of love. If you love me, you'll do this for me.
Oh.
I mean, that doesn't... It just popped into my head recently when I was just kind of doing the timeline of things. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Valentine's Day was 2 days before. And so it just kind of struck me odd that maybe it was a, you know, if you love me, you'll do this for me. I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating. No,
that's a really good... Really good point.
Does it sound like the ex-wife is somebody who would say something like that? I mean, based on what we know about her, I wish she goes to a tattoo parlor and says, "I wish somebody would." You know, there's a way to make them just shut up.
You know what? You gave me a couple links. One was to a map. One was to a repository of information. Maybe I can highlight in there, you know, what's corroborated from my end, specific points, not everything,
sure,
but specific points. And then you guys can pick it up from there and I can email you saying, hey, take a look at the spreadsheet and, you know, that's more information for you. Depending on how intricate this is on this idea, this hypothesis, right? Depending on how intricate it is or was, you know, somebody could be using walkie-talkies.
Again, part of me thinks, man, this is very professional. And there's other aspects of this crime. You think it was kind of amateur the way they did it. Why, a professional wouldn't have done that, right? So, yeah. Okay, so getting back to the report, is there anything else we need? I think that answers our big question about, you know, did she leave the state of Florida? And now we know for sure, and it kind of goes with what we were told. So I think that verifies it. Now the question is why did you go all the way across the country?
Yeah, that's something that we need to figure out, right?
Well, Chris, thank you very, very much. That was exactly what we were looking for.
I think John and I just kind of want to know if they've got, I'm sure they do, but what kind of evidence they have that they're not releasing. And not that anything that we find is going to like break the case wide open.
Sure.
But just for theory wise, you know, like, do they have a piece of evidence that they haven't released to the public that they're holding on to that's like key in this case? And a footprint would be one of those things.
Definitely. And that's a lot of times that's the frustration piece inside an ongoing investigation. But we all know, you know, law enforcement does a very good job at running down all the leads that they possibly can and, you know, trying to keep things close to their chest because they don't want to unfurl information where it's a little premature and it tips off the prospective offender or the targeted person by law enforcement. Right. You know, we're kind of the public in general is kind of left kind of in the dark with what's going on. What evidence do they have? What tactics have they done? Did they do a tower dump? Did they do, you know, did they find a shoe print like you're saying there, you know, and all that's kind of TBD until they, you know, they find themselves comfortable enough to either release the information or act on it.
Right. And I appreciate that. And I do respect that. I know it's important. So I'm certainly not going to, you know, hope that they release this information. Just conjecture, you know, just talking. It's weird, like in Jacksonville they do the weather collection 4 minutes before the hour, and so everything is at like 2:56, 3:56, 4:56, 5:56, you know, etc. And I'm looking at 7:56 p.m. and I know that is when he called his wife, right? And they were on the phone for like a minute, and then he died like 2 minutes later. And I'm looking at that time and my heart just starts beating. Like, I don't know. You're looking at the weather in the location where this guy was shot at that specific time. And it's just, it's fucked up. Anyway.
Yeah. It touches on all of us. You know, we're all compassionate and, you know, just, you can only imagine what Kirsten's going through.
Oh my God.
Right now.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. Let's stop here for another quick break.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I I've been dying to talk to you about this. All right. Do you remember how we were talking about Jared's parents?
Yeah.
And if they were around and if, you know, they had access to the twins?
Yeah.
Okay. So I started looking into the, that Markle Act that we were talking about a while ago. And the Markle Act, just going to repeat it real quick. It gives grandparents rights to their grandchildren when there's tragic circumstances. All right. And that was like the really general like explanation. All right. So I was like, well, let me go find out, you know, if this would help Jared's parents. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading about it and it says, you know, this act was, you know, enacted because of the tragic circumstances surrounding Dan Markle's murder. Right. So I was like, well, what kind of circumstances would the grandparents be given access to their grandchildren? You know, like what happened here? So I wanted to go look at this Dan Markle case, right? Because it happened in Florida too, by the way, in Tallahassee. This is a Florida like statute. So I was like, all right, let me dig into this case just very briefly, just to get an understanding of what's going on here.
What'd you find out?
Dude. Okay. Let me pull it up again. Okay. All right. So listen, Dan is on a business trip in September of 2012. All right. September 2012, Dan's on a business trip. When he gets home, he finds out that his wife, Wendy, her maiden name is Adelson. You have to remember that. Okay.
Okay.
When he gets home, he finds that his kids are gone and Wendy has filed like for divorce. So what happened was she filed for divorce and just moved to Miami. I think it was Miami. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, she moves far away. Let's just say that. She moves far away. And Dan is like, okay, you can divorce me. That's fine. But you are not taking my kids, right? So a year later, well, not quite a year, but in 2013, in June of 2013, the judge comes out and says, you can't relocate without permission from the father. So the divorce is finally settled. They cannot leave the Tallahassee area, I'm assuming. And Dan can now see his kids. Great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, something happens between July of 2013 and May of 2014, because the next thing in the timeline is that the court documents, there's a hearing scheduled for a motion to prohibit Wendy's mother from seeing her grandchildren unsupervised. All right. Now, this hearing never happens because 2 months later, Dan is murdered.
Really?
Yeah. So listen, there's this divorce, there's this contentious custody battle. It goes on for a long time. And now all of a sudden, Dad's dead and he's murdered. Now, listen to this. This is the thing. All right. This is the thing. He is shot after dropping his children off at school. So he has his kids. He drops them off at school. I think it was like 9 a.m. He dropped them off at preschool. I think he went to go work out. He comes back home. It's like 11 o'clock, 2 hours later. And he is shot in his driveway. In his driveway. So he's, okay, listen. So the parallels here are very similar.
Yep.
Jared had the kids. He dropped them off in his car, shot. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay.
Heading home.
Right.
On his way home.
Right.
He gets shot. Yep.
It gets crazier, though. It gets even more kind of like parallel, right? So this is in July of 2014 that this happens. Okay. July 18th, 2014. He's shot. Okay. So after that, a couple days go by and the police release an image of a green Prius seen in the area around the time that the crime occurred. So this is our Ford F-150, right?
In Jared's case.
Right. In Jared's case, this is our Ford F-150. So Dan's case, it's a green Prius. All right.
Gotcha.
So they released this image of this green Prius. And then there's some, like, you know, the memorial services held. There's, you know, general stuff. Okay. The next big thing, though, that happens is that in February of 2016, so like a year and a half go by, the Tallahassee Police Department starts to, like, slowly release, like, documents about the circumstances surrounding the death, like things like the keys were in the ignition and the house was locked. It wasn't robbed. And, you know, things like, you know, that they would normally keep to themselves.
Only the person who committed the act would know these things.
Right. They start releasing their Puma, right? Or some of the Puma, right?
Yep.
Okay, so this is where it gets kind of nitty gritty. Oh, and the other thing that they released is that they don't think that the Prius belonged to the driver. And I don't know how they know this, but that's what they release. All right. But here's where it gets like, wow. All right. In April of 2016. Now, remember, he was murdered in 2014.
Yep.
All right. In April of 2016, the FBI, all right, the FBI is involved. They record a conversation between a guy named Charlie Adelson and Catherine Magbuana at a restaurant. All right. Now, remember I told you his ex-wife's name is Wendy Adelson.
Correct. So are they related?
That's her brother.
Oh.
Okay. So this is her brother. All right. And when I first was reading this, I'm like, okay, well, who's this dude? Right. And why is this important? Well, just keep that in mind. They record this conversation at a restaurant. That's in April. In May, a month later, they arrest somebody. And they arrest this guy named Sigfredo Garcia. And he denies everything. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, the full press, right?
Yep.
Okay. So somebody's arrested. Now, in June, like a month after he was arrested, documents in the murder case become unsealed. And in those documents, there's another suspect named. And his name is Luis Rivera, or Louis Rivera. And that establishes a connection between Adelson and Garcia, all right? So it provides more details and a timeline of the murder, according to the Tallahassee Police Department. So a jury indicts both Garcia and Rivera for this murder. So there's now a trial is going to be set, right? So Sigfredo pleads not guilty, right? Louis Rivera, I think he made a deal. He pled guilty. He made a deal. And so Sigfredo, his trial was set for November 14th, 2016. Then Rivera pleads guilty to second degree murder and is sentenced to 19 years in prison. So he doesn't have a trial. All right.
Yep.
But just then Catherine is arrested. So I'm guessing at this, I haven't read the detail, but I'm guessing that Louis Rivera, like he copped a deal. Because right at that time, Catherine's arrested. So
he was cooperating.
He was cooperating, right. And says, listen, this Catherine lady hired us. Okay? Hired me and Sigfredo.
Wow.
Right. And this Catherine woman is connected to Wendy's brother, Charles. Okay, so this is all kinds of crazy, right? And there's a lot of other things that happened. The FBI need to analyze the recording. There's a lot of different kinds of COVID happens, you know, in all this. So things have been delayed, right? But it boils down to Charlie hired these two people through Catherine. She was like the go-between, all right? And Charlie's trial doesn't start until April this year, 2023. So we don't know what's going to happen there. But Catherine turned state's witness. And eventually, I think she got a mistrial. This case is out. This case is crazy, but it's so similar to the suspicions that people have about our case, right?
What happened to Jared? Same,
right?
Same divorce, contentious, right.
Family, shady,
battle.
Right?
He's taking his kids home, gets out of his car, gets shot. Nobody knows who done it. It looks like it was the police have said that Jared was targeted by somebody. The way it was done, it appeared like it was like a professional.
Yeah, and it's important to note, too, that the Tallahassee Police Department very, very, very quickly after the murder also said that Dan Markle was targeted, that he was the intended victim.
Yep.
So it's a very similar, like, we know this is targeted. And I'm sure people were like, how did they think this was targeted? Well, you know, they just did.
Wallet still there. Nothing of any value was taken except for his Dan Markle's life. So because of all this, they passed a law in Florida so that Dan's parents could get access.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly like why Wendy denied. Okay, so here's the thing. So Charlie is in jail right now. He has a trial scheduled for April of 2023. But his sister, who is Dan Markle's ex-wife, like who started all this, I guess, is not facing criminal charges at this moment. All right? Right.
And she still has custody of the kids.
As she does. Sole parent. She does. And apparently she's been denying access to her children to Dan's parents.
Similar to what's happening with Kirsten and her.
And so the law, though, here's the sad thing, okay? The law, the Markle law, it's not going to help them. And they still pushed for it. Like, they still saw the value of this. The law, the Dan Markle law, or I'm sorry, the Markle Act, would only benefit the Markles if Wendy was convicted. So this tragic circumstances part of this law means that the grandparents of the murder victim would have access to their children if their spouse was convicted of the murder. So it's not gonna help Jared
and in
either.
In Jared's case, it wouldn't be it would effective not. To use because nobody has yet to be arrested, prosecuted, and found guilty of committing the act.
Right.
Until that happens, the ex-wife can keep the kids to herself. And as we know right now, she's relocated to another state.
Correct. So it was kind of a waste of time for me to look into this because it's just not going to help Jared's parents. But on the bright side, I found this case, you know, that is eerily similar to Jared's case, the same kind of situation, kind of the same MO. It's eerily similar. And the only reason that I kind of want to talk to Miss Bradigan about it is just like, I don't want her, and I don't think she is giving up hope. I don't think she's ever going to give up hope. You know what I mean? But I know she's desperate, right? Like, she wants justice for her husband. And if we tell her the story, if she doesn't know about it, if we tell her the story and say, look, these are like really similar circumstances. And this family, you know, it took a year just to get somebody arrested. Don't lose hope. I know it's saying it's only been 8 months is shitty. That's not how I want to say it. But like, we need to give it a little bit more time. More on that next time.
True Crimes is executive produced by Stephanie Leidecker, Deanna Thompson, Courtney Armstrong, Jeff Shane, Andrew Arno, and me, John Green. Additional producing by Connor Powell and Gabe Castile. Editing by Jeff Twa. Music by Vanacore Music.
True Crimes is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.